Hey there, kids. You are listening to Inside the Desert Oasis Room, episode number 59. This episode is sponsored by Tandawai Rum. Established in the Philippines in 1854, Tandawai is one of the world's largest rum producers and winner of over 170 international medals in the past four decades, including Brand of the Year in London's World Branding Awards rum category from 2015 to 2017 and Rum Brand Champion of the World by thespiritsbusiness.com in 2015. As sponsor of the Inside the Desert Oasis Room podcast and the toast to Master Ninja Ray Buen at the legendary Tiki Tea in Los Angeles, California, Tandawai is the perfect companion to celebrate all things tiki. For more information, check out their webpage at tandawaiusa.com or follow them on Facebook or Instagram at tandawaiusa. This podcast is also sponsored by the Royal Hawaiian. Founded in Laguna Beach, California in 1947, the Royal Hawaiian is South Orange County's premier tropical drink and dining destination. Come try their signature cocktail, the Lapu Lapu, a delicious combination of tropical fruit juices with a generous float of dark spirits. Or other island-inspired favorites like ahi tuna poke or the dynamite crab-crusted mahi mahi. Enjoy their delicious brunch or drop in for happy hour from 2:30 to 5:30 p.m. daily for drink specials and more. To make a reservation, visit royalhawaiianlb.com. Today we have a late night chat with Scott Tiki Pop Taylor and Tiki Rob Haas. Well, it was more of a late night for me because of the time difference, and on top of that, I was battling a cold, so I apologize for the gravelly voice. In any case, it was still fun chatting with these guys. If you don't already know, Scott and Rob are tiki mug makers from the Hawaiian island of Maui. They tell us what it's like to live in Maui, how they found their way to the islands, how they got started making tiki mugs, and more. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we did bringing it to you. This podcast is a grassroots effort and does not survive without the help of our sponsors or our listeners. So if you'd like to help, stop by DesertOasisRoom.com and click on the donate button. Every donation, no matter the size, helps keep this podcast coming to you every week. Okay, guys, here they are, the boys from Maui, Tiki Pop and Tiki Rob. How's it going?
What's up, brother?
Not much. How you guys doing?
We're good.
Grinding right now. Just got off work and.
Oh, nice. What do you have? Oh, you're having those. You're having tacos,
tacos.
Huh?
Tacos. Starving. Yeah, I was gonna wait till afterwards, Mike. You know what?
Just that's okay.
You can, and the Mai Tais are keep going down, man.
Just you could eat while we're talking. No one's gonna know.
Yeah.
I can't believe you're drinking Mai Tais after last night.
So I didn't have any at the bar. I actually only had them at your house and here. So. Or the rum.
It sounds like I missed something.
You're on your third beer right when I left.
Yeah, I don't know how many more. Did you get that video I sent you?
Yeah.
Turned into the dance club party. That was fun.
We went up to Monkey Pot and had Mai Tais up there.
Did you guys go dancing somewhere too?
We didn't go dancing. We just closed down Monkey Pot.
Monkey Pot, yeah. You gotta come out, Adrian.
I know. I want to come out so bad.
Yeah, man.
You know, I was supposed to go last year.
Mini tiki curl last night.
Last year, I was supposed to go because of the Maui marathon.
Right.
And the person that I was gonna go for, she ended up backing out of the marathon, and she just did something locally because I think that it was her budget. You know.
Right.
And I was kind of bummed out about that. You know. Because, you know, I had already cleared it with the wife and all of that, and she was like, you know, she was cool with it, so.
Right.
But then, like, that got canceled, but it still got me out of, you know, having to fly to the Philippines, so. Because she was like, her brother was getting married, and I was thinking, it's a long flight. And
that is a long flight.
Yeah, it's like 16 hours or something. And then, you know, I said, oh, well. You know, that's the same time as the Maui Marathon. And she goes, oh, yeah, and you're all going to be going to Maui. And I said, yeah. She goes, all right, well, I'll just make it a girls' trip with my sister and my niece. And so her sister's husband stayed home, too, because he thought that I wasn't going, right?
Right.
And I didn't tell her it was canceled until after, you know, she had all her tickets and everything was all lined up. So that,
smart, yeah.
So then I had the house to myself for a couple weeks, you know.
Nice.
So that's the way. Nice.
Gotta work it sometimes like that.
So should we try to, should we conference Jason in on this thing or what?
Yeah, how do we do it? I don't know how to get him on there.
All right, let's.
So just end this one, and then we'll just redo.
Oh, it's just connecting, so it looks like he's connecting. Jason.
Hello. 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 Hello.
I hear his echo ass.
There you guys are.
What's up, man?
Everybody here?
Yeah, we're just waiting on you,
Euler.
I just got here, so.
So what's up, guys?
What's up? I was trying to think of stupid tourist stories all day, man. I couldn't think of any.
Oh, come on.
I'm like, what the hell?
So,
lately, man, they've just been pissing me off, if anything.
Yeah, well, see? That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Scott's got some people started collecting mugs that now have huge collections, and it's all his fault.
How did that happen? And now, are these people local people, or are they tourists?
No, you know, when people stop by my booth, majority of people don't even... I mean, unless the tiki collectors that come and find me off Instagram, they know what's going on. But a lot of the other regular tourists have no idea really even what a tiki is. So I kind of go and tell them basically what it's all about. And pretty much, you know, they start digging it and stuff. And so they'll maybe get a mug and come back in a year, and all of a sudden I've heard they have like 200 or 300 mugs in their collection.
Holy
and they're just
shit.
Going off
no,
on it.
No, because so they come here as tourists, right? These are tourists.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, there's this one guy I know that's got, he's from the East Coast, and he got his very first mug from me, and now he's like posting mugs like on Ooga Mooga. And he's well over 1,000, probably more like 2,000 mugs. And he shows me pictures of his walls, and it's insane. It's like cool.
When these guys first start seeing your stuff, do they get sticker shock? Because, you know, like tourists
totally.
Look for
deals,
souvenirs, they don't want to spend a lot of money, right?
Oh, yeah. Right. I mean, I have a section for the cheaper ones, and I always let them know, look, we got budget mugs, imports, and you know, everything under 20 basically. And of course they kind of don't like them, they want these other ones. And so they'll
right.
You know, I kind of just tell them about the different artists that make them, and Tiki Farm or Monk Tiki, or if it's one of mine, or
you have to explain. You kind of have
to
explain why those are more expensive.
Definitely people more definitely are trying to get something that's made here in Maui, so you know, if they can get something here, they'd love it, you know. It just kind of, it depends on what they want to spend, though, because, you know, mine obviously are going to be a lot more. We just get time into them, so they, yeah.
Are there any tiki carvers over there?
Yeah, there's a lot of carvers. A lot of Tongan carvers, and there's not a whole lot of Hawaiian carvers, truthfully. I got one guy, he comes by the booth every now and then. He's in the 70s. His name's Kenneth, and he's been carving here since he was a young boy. His father taught him how to carve. He carves in the really traditional Hawaiian style. But he's really raw. Like, he'll bring me tikis and says, hey, man, I need some gas money.
Right.
So he brings me out to his car with his brothers inside the back. And I'm like, hey, so we got these. He'll show me, like, a box of 8 tikis or something like that. He's like, you know, and he'll offer me a deal on them all, and a lot of them aren't even finished. They still have the markings from the Sharpie where he still needs to carve and all that.
Oh, that's
so
funny.
I kind of got to be selective, and I'm like, okay, well, tell you what, I'll get these, and some of them I have to take home and resand and stuff. But they have a really cool style to them. They're more really raw, you know. They kind of remind me of a lot of them in like the Hawaiian sculptural books, but they're just super raw, so they're not for everybody. They're not fancy, you know, like some of the other ones they do here.
Right.
But it's pretty cool, though.
Like, I'm not into the ones you can get on Front Street, the carvers down there. They got, like, fangs on them and big tongues hanging out.
Pineapples on the forehead.
What's the deal with that? Like, it seems like in the past decade or decade and a half, I'm seeing like tikis in Hawaii now that are just, I guess that Tongan style is really popular, you know?
And yeah, that's who's carving them out here right now, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, I think maybe the tourists go for that. You know, they want the tongue sticking out or the fangs
and
or
the
something.
And the fangs, yeah. That's
they don't know
weird
about
one.
Traditional tikis or, yeah, you know, any of the history behind them.
Every now and then I have my book down there that shows some of the more of the Hawaiian style. You know, the kind like Gecko's doing, you know, in his mugs, just more real traditional styles. And, you know, I just try and show them the difference and stuff. I don't want to, you know, if they like the Tongan ones, that's great. I have, you know, a couple of my styles are based off of that. So it's, you know, I don't know. It's just
weird that, like, you know, there was a time when that Coco Joe style, which carried a lot of the traditional Ku and Lono and Kanaloa, you know, that was, you saw that all over Hawaii, right? And you go to the Polynesian Cultural Center and you see that all over Polynesian Cultural Center. And then I don't go to Hawaii for a couple of years. Then I go back and then all of a sudden, all I'm seeing is that Tongan style everywhere. Yep. And I thought, what happened? You know, I wonder if it's when Coco Joe's started to like kind of, you know, started to disappear because the company went out of business, that's those styles kind of got forgotten, you know? I don't know.
Probably. There probably was that period right between there where they weren't doing it. Maybe that's when you got a lot more of the Tongan carvers coming in. And a lot of them are in bigger families. They'll have not just one carver, but a few different carvers working it and having them in different sections on the island. So.
And some, you know, actually they ship the tikis in from their family in Tonga or wherever they are.
Oh, they do.
So, yeah. I mean, they're carving a few here, but then, you know, they pull out a box full from their family and, you know, off island.
Yeah.
So, I got a question for you guys that, you know, like out here in the mainland, or actually just, you know, the tiki community in general, everybody knows who you guys are and everybody knows your work and your style. And out there in Maui, like the mugs and your work, is it just as known to the locals?
Oh, not at all.
Okay, no, I don't think so.
Not at all.
And so that leads to my next question. So if, you know, somebody discovers that you guys are doing tikis, how do they feel about Holly's making tiki mugs and interpreting that? You know what I mean? Like,
right. I've had a few encounters with some locals come up to the booth before. This was a couple years back when I was starting to make some of the different designs and stuff. And they, a couple of them would be basically saying I was disrespecting, you know, their tiki god. And, you know, I mean, you can't argue a lot with them about it or anything. And I was like, basically kind of trying to tell them how this is, you know, an art form of it and how, you know, basically I'll show them the Book of Tiki and show them kind of what I'm doing instead. I'm not trying to remake their tiki or anything. I'm just having a little fun with it, but trying to show some respect too, you know? I don't know. It's a touchy subject over here. I think that's why you don't see a lot of tiki bars, and if you do, they kind of only go to a certain extent because they, you know, they don't want to show any kind of disrespect towards people, so.
Because, you know, a lot of the Hawaiians today don't realize that art form in Hawaii, you know, the tikis and the tiki carvings, almost went extinct, you know, if it weren't for the mainland tiki movement, or more that Polynesian pop movement, you know, that it may never have been brought back to the islands, you know, that's what brought it back to the islands, you know.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, and you don't want to come across like trying to teach them about their history, right? Because then they can take that the wrong way very easily.
Yeah,
yeah, it's interesting. Like, it's one thing for us to be making tiki gods if we were on the mainland. You know, we don't know any better. But to try to do it out here, I guess we got to show a little more respect, you know?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Now,
is he still on there? He's sleeping, that guy.
Jason?
Just listening.
Oh, yeah. He is there.
You guys just take it from here. I'll chat with you guys later.
he's just waiting for you guys to finish your next batch of mugs so he can take some. So he can make lamps out of them.
I know we got to get you some for Cozy Show. That's coming up.
Big Island Show, November 16th, 17th.
You know, I might I might just walk into that show unannounced.
Yeah.
If someone buys me a ticket.
I'll buy you my tie. I'll buy you two Mai Tais. Yeah.
I do want to go to that show. You know, I actually thought, oh, you know, I should price it out and...
You should come.
You know, the thing is, it's not so much the airfare. It's everything else, right? You know, once you add lodging and other expenses, like a rental car and all that stuff, it just all adds up.
Yeah, you get Jason to pick you up. Picking us up, then you can sleep on our floor.
You sleep on our floor.
We got you covered, man.
Oh, I appreciate that. What do you mean your floor? It's on the Big Island, right?
Yeah, well, we got a room.
Yeah, we're staying at the Royal Kona right there, so.
Oh, okay.
We'll be right there. Don will be just a few feet away.
Wow. Do you guys have pieces in that?
Rob does.
In what?
In the show.
In the Cozy Show? Cozy Show, we have a booth where we're going to sell. But it's just like Saturday afternoon is the only time we're selling. The show goes Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I believe.
Okay.
But Thursday night is some shindig at the Royal Kona Resort. You know, with Brad Parker and Big Toe and Doug Horn and Kenny. Exactly it entails. And then something else is happening Friday. And then Saturday is the actual vending where we'll show tourists our $100 mugs and have them all walk away.
Get laughed at.
So I'm curious. Each of your stories about how you guys all ended up on the islands. Because I know a little bit about Jason's story, even though I'd still like him to tell us.
What's Jason's story?
Why don't we start with Jason since he's so quiet?
Was he kidnapped and then he got dropped off in a cave or something? Jason!
I think he is asleep.
Oh my gosh.
Maybe he put the phone down and
his phone ran out of batteries.
So, you guys are both from somewhere else, right? I know Scott's from Southern California. Where'd you come from, Rob?
I'm from San Jose.
Okay, San Jose.
You know, more. Yeah.
When did you end up in Maui?
Well, I graduated from college, and my parents gave me a one-way ticket to Maui so that I wouldn't move home.
Really?
Yeah. So I had been coming here. They have a condo here, so I've been coming here since I was a little kid.
Okay,
and
so...
I was really into windsurfing.
Okay.
Yeah, so I moved here to windsurf for a year was the plan, and now I've been here 33 years or
so.
Maybe
okay,
not that long.
The plan was to windsurf, but I mean, like, were did they just tell you to take a year off before you figure out what you want to do?
Yeah, that was kind of my plan. You know, I don't know if I was ready to go straight to work after college,
right?
And so I thought, shoot, you know. Now was a good time. I'll just go. I actually windsurfed every day for 4 years. Every day that there was wind, I'd get in the water and windsurf. And worked as a waiter at night and windsurfed all day. And it's a perfect life for a 22-year-old, you know.
Heck,
make $100 cash, get a free dinner, spend all day at the beach. Yeah.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
So if you were, 22, you said?
Yeah.
So you've actually lived in Maui longer than you lived anywhere else.
Exactly, yeah.
Yep.
Do you still consider yourself a transplant?
I think so. I think I always will. You know, I think we were talking last night. We were out, you know. Do I consider myself local?
Right.
Probably not. But these local kids come up, you know, and with attitude or something, and you're like, I've lived here longer than you've been alive.
Been alive,
you know, so,
right.
Yeah. So I'm just as local as you are, but, you know, we talk about this attitude and stuff, but I really don't experience it that often. I've never been really confrontational, so I never had any problem with Hawaiians or locals or anything. And the whole
it's
time
definitely mellowing out too over the years, especially we have a lot more people that have moved over here in the last 5 to 10 years for sure. Yeah, so
well,
it's,
I was going to say that, you know,
becoming more accepted, I think
it's becoming more and more integrated as time passes.
Kind of like, kind of like how Honolulu is or Waikiki. You know, you go there and it's funny. It's a whole different. You don't get a lot of stink eye when you're driving down the road looking at people, you know, unless you're on certain parts of the island, maybe. But basically, you're just accepted over there, and you know, you're in Maui. It wasn't like that so much when we moved here. So
you know,
nowadays, you know, you don't get that so much. You get get it from a few people, but nothing like what it used to be.
Right.
You know, when the new TV show Hawaii Five-0 came out, you know, I watched the first couple episodes, and it seemed they just pushed that whole local mentality on the show, and it really turned me off, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, they start off the very first episode with, you know, people surfing, and they're like, get out of here, Holly, you know, this is our way, what are you doing here on our beach, you know?
Right.
I'm like, it's really not that way. So it really turned me off on the show, and I couldn't even watch it anymore.
Yep. Well, you know, it's obviously going to be different coming from me, but I've never experienced any localism. They all think I'm from there, you know.
Right.
As a matter of fact,
just your skin color, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. One time, I was flying home with my wife, and someone commented on the shuttle, and they said, "Oh, it's funny. We're all flying home, and you guys are flying out for vacation, huh?" And we're like, "No, we're flying home with you too," you know. So. Yeah,
we get a lot of people in our market, you know, a lot of people from San Jose, a lot of tons of Filipinos, and I'll sometimes think that they live there, you know, not always, but it's kind of funny because, oh no, this is our first trip here to Maui, like, wow.
Right.
But you don't always know, it's, yeah.
Now, how long have you been there, Scott?
I moved here in 89, so.
Damn, so you guys are like, you guys have been there a long time.
Yeah,
we actually both moved here in 89.
Yeah.
Wow. And because Jason, I think he's been on the Big Island for 30 years too, right? 30 plus years?
I think so. Quite a while. Yeah.
Did he left, huh? He's not even on the call anymore.
He probably went down to the bar, man. You know Jason.
So, are you just running a shop there, Scott, all day?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I'm here. I do it about 4 days. Right now, we don't have anybody working it except for Michelle and I. So we split it up, and I'm down there about 4 days a week, and she's down the other three.
Okay.
And then on my days off, I'm lately pretty much been making mugs in my spare time, or half the days at least, and then try and fit in a little beach in between there. But yeah, it's kind of a longer day. We're down there for about 10 hours a day, so it's, you know, I'm still putting in about 40 hours a week at the shop, and then trying to do all the mugs when I get home at around 8 or 9 o'clock at night, and do that for a few hours, and then in the mornings try and get another hour or two of carving in if I can or something, you know.
Right. And what about you, Rob? Are you doing anything with your mugs out there in Maui, or you have a regular job?
Oh, I have a graphic design business.
Oh, cool.
So, I mean, I'm at work, supposed to be at work from, you know, 9 to 5 every day, but I've got some good employees, so.
So that's why you have such cool shirts.
Yeah. That's it, yeah.
Seriously, I mean, like, every time you come out with a new design, I think, man, your designs are so nice, you know?
That's my job, yep.
Yeah.
Been doing it for a long time.
Yeah.
But lately I've been kind of stumbling into work around, you know, 9:30 or 10, because I'm here trying to get mugs done in the morning. But, you know, both of us do it as a secondary job, you know, just kind of in the weekends and evenings.
Trying to keep it fun, you know, that's the thing.
Yeah.
It's trying to not keep it a business, but kind of just, you know, keeping it a hobby, I think, more, if anything, just trying to have fun. People contact us always and wanting us to do smaller mug orders. A lot of the orders, I think, like a lot of the, like Diablo or Tiki, you know, Monk Tiki, any of those places that don't want to do a small order, so I think they'll come to us thinking that we could do it. But I don't have the time to do that kind of stuff between
keeping the shop with a few mugs and maybe doing my own order, setting Rob too. Yeah, it takes so much time just to do little, you know, orders. So
I had Van Tiki on the podcast recently.
Yeah.
And he was telling me that one of the reasons why he was doing mugs was that, you know, the cost of living in Hawaii is just getting crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, man, I had to do mugs to supplement my income.
Yep.
Or else I wouldn't have made it, you know? Are you guys feeling that way with your mug businesses?
Sure. Oh, yeah, totally.
I mean, my mugs definitely pay for our vacations, family vacations and stuff like that. And, I've got a kid about to start college, so you know, I'm trying to save mug money for that, and it's tough to live out here. You know, everything is so expensive.
Right.
It's crazy.
And your kid, where's he going to college?
He doesn't know yet. I mean, he's just starting to apply right now.
Okay.
So he's a senior in high school.
And he was born and raised there. So.
Yep.
So I'm curious, you know. All the youth, it seems like they all just want to get off the island, right?
No, not necessarily.
No?
Not my kids. I don't know. I've asked them, and they kind of, they're really, my son's into spearfishing and diving and surfing, and yeah, I don't see him leaving it, truthfully.
Oh, yeah,
I think I'd want, like, him to leave more than anything, because it is such a small rock, and it's great out here, but, you know, you kind of miss a lot of other things, I think, too, so I'd like him to go out and experience some other stuff too. So, but
yeah, Scott's oldest son is the same age as my youngest son.
Okay,
or my youngest kid.
They went to school. All grade school together.
Yeah.
And I have an older daughter who's, you know, has no plans on leaving the island. But I'm really pushing my son to, you know, go to the mainland and explore it. You know, just to see what's out there.
Yeah, because it just seems like I hear all the time that people start getting island fever, you know? And,
yeah.
I mean, I can see that. I can see how, I mean, like, what does it take to go around that whole island?
Especially when you live on the mainland and you move here, you experience that.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Here, like the kids, they don't really, you know, they don't have the experiences of the city so much or whatever we used to do. And you know, I used to live in LA, and we'd go out every night and do all the fun stuff out here. It's kind of, most places close down pretty early, so you don't really do much. And they're fine with that, so, because they never had any experience of it. So
like,
you got to be into the ocean when you live here, you know, like, like when I moved here, it was all about windsurfing. I mean, I still go out and paddle boards, you know. Scott's getting in the water, you know, way more than I am even. And then his son Tristan, you know, he's into spearfishing and all that, so he's into the ocean lifestyle, you know.
Yeah.
So, you put him in Oklahoma, you know, he's away from all that, and really would miss it, I think.
Yeah. I'm just thinking.
But my son, on the other hand, isn't so into the ocean. I mean, he goes to the beach. He'll, you know, bodyboard at big beach just like the rest of the kids, but it's not his passion.
Sure.
I have a younger son that's 14, and he wanted me to make sure I throw a shout out there for him.
Throw that shout out.
Shane Taylor at 808.
All right.
Taylor 808 on Instagram. You got to follow him.
Say it again.
Awesome photography, man. He's really good.
Say it again.
That's what he loves to do. He's only 14.
Say it again, because everybody hears it clearly.
Oh, that would be Shane Taylor 808 on Instagram.
Very cool.
He just takes some awesome photography. He's really getting into it right now. So,
yeah, it's really good stuff.
And he's also into the ocean big time. He's just a really good bodyboarder and surfer. And
he's a good athlete all the way around.
He is.
Kid can do anything.
He's awesome. Cross country, he blows it. He's killer.
Yeah, so, you know, I always say that I would like to, you know, finish the rest of my days on a tropical beach somewhere on a tropical island, you know. I sometimes wonder, though, if the fantasy is better than the reality, you know. I mean, like, cost of living aside.
Yeah.
I'm, you know, talking about, you know.
It's a terrible place to live, man. Yeah, I mean, just.
Well, I mean, like, being in Southern California, you know, or not even just Southern California, California in general. You know, I'm so spoiled because, you know, I've got the beaches, the mountains, the desert. If I want to go up to Northern Cal, I can go up to Northern Cal in a day. If I want to go to Vegas, I can go to Vegas in a day. If I want to go to Phoenix, I can go to Phoenix in a day. We've got, like, you know, all these really great beach cities, and then we've got all of these really great, you know, mountains to go skiing and snowboarding, you know. Right. And I've done the whole, you know, surf and snowboard in the same day a couple of times, you know, when I was younger, just to be able to say that I did it. That. You know, and...
drive out to Vegas one night or whatever you want to do. You can do that over there. Over here, you're kind of, you know, you're stuck. If you want to do something different, you basically drive 2.5 hours and you go to the other side of the island. You're in the jungle, basically, and it's fun. But after doing that 100 times, you're kind of like, okay, it's fun. It's nice, but
it doesn't really change. I get it. But then, like, you get to the point where, I mean, even, and I don't want to sound spoiled, but even with everything that we have out here, when I have some free time and I think, like, okay, well, I've got a weekend that I'd like to get away. Where do I want to go? And then I think to myself, nah, that doesn't sound interesting. Nah, that doesn't sound interesting. And I'll think of everything from, like, you know, just like we talked about, a weekend in Vegas or, you know, a weekend in San Diego or you know. And it just seems like we have, like, a wider diameter, right? A bigger range of square footage or acreage or whatever you want to call it for us to go explore and do things. And even then I start to think, you know, I think I've seen a lot of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I think, back to, like, what I was saying earlier, you have to be into the ocean. You know, if you live out here, you know, you got to wake up in the morning and go, hey, I'm going to go, you know, jump on my surfboard or my windsurfer, kiting or whatever you're into. But, if it doesn't, your life doesn't revolve around the ocean, the island can get pretty small pretty quick. Yeah. And I think people that move out here, thinking it's going to be a great place to retire or whatever, get lonely. All their friends are on the mainland. You know, they move out here, middle of the ocean, they realize pretty quick there's not a lot to do. And
not everybody comes to visit every weekend. And
That's a great point. So.
This episode is brought to you in part by Steadfast Pomade. Steadfast Pomade is a strong-holding, medium-bodied, water-based styling product for men and women, which leaves your hair looking slick, neat, and shiny with a clean, fresh scent. Its unique formula allows you to easily restyle your hair throughout the day and washes out with ease. Steadfast Pomade is American-made and veteran-owned. Available in Original and Anchor Hold. Get yours today at steadfastpomade.com. Tame the waves and keep it steadfast. This episode is also sponsored by the Tiki Tea. Founded in 1961, the Tiki Tea is a family-owned and operated tropical drink bar practicing the lost art of exotic cocktail mixing. Come try their house specialty, the Ray's Mistake, a delicious concoction of botanic liqueurs, passion fruit, gin, and rum for only $6 on Wednesdays until 9 p.m. The Tiki Tea is located at 4427 Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood, California. For more information, check out their website, tiki-ti.com. The Tiki Tea, Ground Zero for tropical drinks.
You know, my wife and I, we have a house in the Philippines that we were planning on retiring to. And I don't think I want to do that anymore because it's so far away. It'll be so far away from my friends and family. And so then I thought, because that's a 16-hour flight. And then we love also the Cook Islands. And I'd love to retire there, possibly, right? That's also on the list. That's not as far away. That's about a 9-hour flight. But it's still a 9-hour flight, you know? And
That's a long flight, so you're not going to want to go back and forth every year, maybe, you know?
Well, we do, but it's not something that if I feel like seeing my kids, you know, or them seeing me, it's more than, you know, let me book a flight. I mean, like, there takes a little bit more planning, you know, because of the travel time.
Right.
And then so now, like, we also started looking at Hawaii, but Hawaii is, like, just getting so expensive, you know. But we were
you just can't show up for Thanksgiving and Easter and Christmas, you know, when you're that far away, you know. So family, you gotta have close by.
So we were actually thinking we like Hawaii, and you know, I just, it just feels so much more like old Hawaii, right? There's, you know, there's no tall hotels or anything like that. And I know you guys are going to kick me when I say this, but I actually find the roosters a little endearing, but you know, I don't have to deal with them all day and all night. So, so I can say that right now, but I'm sure if I had to deal with it,
I'm fine with them as long as they don't wake me up.
Well, I guess in Kauai, they just
every morning at 4:30 or 5, you're like, no.
I guess it doesn't matter what time of day it is in Kauai. That, and I think Rob was telling me that you guys have chickens over there now, right?
Quite a bit. Yeah.
What's the story with that? Because I know why there's so many on Kauai, and you know, at least from what I've heard, it was Hurricane Iniki,
right?
And the hurricane, like, you know, blew apart a bunch of chicken coops, and you know, roosters got out, and they all started to multiply, and
they must have been flying over here to Maui, I guess, because they're starting to pop up everywhere. Not as bad as Kauai though, but
and then they don't have any natural predators, right, in Kauai. So that's
part of dogs are thinking about it.
Yeah,
but the dogs just chase them away. The dogs, don't actually eat them. So,
well, my dogs killed a couple chickens in my neighborhood.
Really? My dog would, but
so are they running around in the streets in Maui?
Oh yeah.
Yep. Yeah. There's probably about sometimes like any given time in the back of our marketplace. There'll be maybe 30 or 40 of them, I'd say, running around. And then they come and the maintenance crew will clear them all out. And, you know, a lot of times they just leave the babies or a few of them. And so another couple months goes by or 6 months goes by and there'll be a whole new batch of them. It's pretty crazy.
Wow.
The tourists love them, though. They're taking pictures of them. So, you know, I mean, it's they don't bug anybody, but a lot of the vendors in the back are feeding them, so they're keeping them around.
See, you know, in Kauai, the locals don't like it when people feed those roosters.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, there's signs everywhere, too, that say not to feed them.
Right. You
know? Because that's what keeps them around, right? So if they know that there's a food source, you know, at this particular park or this particular shopping center, they ain't going to go anywhere, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're hanging out in front of all the fast food places, for sure. I remember seeing that way. Went over for a baseball game with my son, and I just remember in front of like majority of the supermarkets and fast food establishments, you'd see a lot of roosters running around. So,
but even in like there's an outdoor restaurant in Kihei, Nalu's, they're just cruising around the tables and
right
your table, just begging the whole time.
And they're not scared of people, right?
No, not at all.
Right, just like the ones in Kauai.
Yeah,
like the waiters will chase them out of the restaurant and stuff. So. You know, they're not super friendly. They're a little bit wary of people, but...
Well, the ones in Kauai... you know, there was a place that I like to eat at called Suoka's. It's this little, you know, fly trap hole in the wall, right? And it's right next to this giant banyan tree that's like 200 years old. So I'll go get a...
Is this Maui you're talking about?
No, in Kauai.
Oh, in Kauai. Oh, okay.
And so I'll go get a plate lunch over there, and I'll go under the banyan tree... And I'll be eating, you know, at a table under this banyan tree. And the roosters will jump on the table.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like right in front of you, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll be like a
they'll
foot away. And they're ready to just start eating right out of your plate while you're eating, you know.
Yeah.
They're not scared of people, you know.
Right.
And, yeah, you got to shoo them away and, you know. And then even there, it's just this big open area under this banyan tree next to a creek. And there's signs everywhere that say not to feed the roosters.
Yeah.
You know? So, and do they have the same problem in the other islands?
Not that I know of.
I'd ask Jason, but I don't think he's on the line anymore.
I haven't seen many on Big Island. What times have been there? I think it's just become
like lava, you know.
Yeah, I think it's just become common for people to have chickens in their yard for the eggs. You know.
Oh,
they
okay.
Start letting them run around a little bit, and you know, pretty soon they're just take over the whole neighborhood. And you know, the weather's good here year round, so they're laying eggs all the time. And like you said, not really any predators.
So let me ask you this question: speaking of having chickens for their eggs, so you know, I like to travel to different tropical destinations. And, you know, in some parts of the world, there are some places, like, for example, in Central America that I've gone to, like Roatan is another island that I really like. It's an island off the coast off Honduras. And something that's similar there, that's similar to, like, say, Rarotonga in the Cook Islands. Seafood is cheaper than chicken and steak because seafood is, you know, more easily accessible, right? And so, like, you know, they don't have, like, chicken actually costs more than shrimp or salmon or mahi, you know, in some of those places because they don't have, you know, they have to import that stuff, right? But you guys don't have that same, I mean, like, Hawaii being Hawaii, I guess, I mean, like...
We got Costco.
Yeah.
Foster Farms, just like everybody else.
Yeah, Costco's the place in Hawaii, it seems like.
Yeah, man. We got it all out here nowadays.
How often do you guys get to the other islands?
Not as often as we'd like.
Yeah. I can't remember the last time. I'm trying to remember when I went last. It's been a while. I think it was... Was a big island, maybe? I'm not too sure. It's been a while. You know, it's not as cheap as it used to be. We used to be able to fly round trip for under $100 for tickets, you know?
Right.
And nowadays, you'll spend upwards of over $200 sometimes.
Whatever happened to that super ferry? So. Wasn't there a super ferry going?
Yeah.
Super ferry, you know.
They got kind of booted out in a way, I think, too. There were a lot of environmental... I guess they didn't like it, you know. They just weren't into it, you know, the whale season and having this big ferry go across. And basically, like, even in Kauai, I think they were blocking the way of the super ferry into the harbor. They wouldn't let them in. It became a pretty big issue, and they just decided not to deal with it anymore. So
what happened to the ferries?
They're the Great Lakes or something.
Yeah, you know, the super ferry that we had over here, it actually went to... Middle East too over there. They turned it into like an army vessel of some sort. Yeah, I remember they had it painted like, I want to say it was camouflage or something. Then they brought it back and now, yeah, was it in the Great Lakes or something like that?
I thought it was much the Great Lakes, but I don't know.
I heard it was coming back here too. There was a talk about that just not even like 6 months ago, having a ferry back. So
what do you guys?
I mean, it was good and it was bad. You know, there was some good things about it, but you know. Maui's a small island, and so is Kauai. So all of a sudden, there's a link to Oahu, which has, you know, a bazillion people on there.
Right.
And you could just drive your trucks right onto the ferry, and just drive right off on Maui or on Kauai.
That's what I read was that they were blocking it for. I heard about the environmental thing, but the biggest concern that I read about was. I guess Kauai was scared that it was going to bring all kinds of traffic to the island.
Well, I don't know. I always thought about it like, let's say there's Memorial Day weekend, right?
Right.
And you get like 30 families on Oahu decide, hey, let's go to Maui and go camping. And so they would get on Super Ferry with their trucks, drive right off on Maui, you know, drive out to Hana and take over a free campground. And, you know,
that's basically our only campsite that we have.
Right. No room left for us because all of a sudden you're able to do this easy camping on other islands.
And I think the first on the beach.
Yeah, the first week of the super ferry operating, there was trucks filled with I guess they call them a river rock, but it's a rock right along, on the shoreline.
Mm-hmm.
They filled their trucks up with all these rocks from Maui, drove them on super ferry. They're taking the rocks back to Oahu, and so I guess the DNLR came in there and. Stopped them, but you know, it was problems like this where people were taking resources from one island, you know, loading up their truck and going to the other.
Oh, so these are all things that they didn't even think about until that ferry started running.
Right.
I thought now this is just you said it's like river rock or something,
right?
Because you know, you hear all these tales, you're probably gonna laugh that if you take lava, you're not supposed to take lava,
yeah.
Is that true?
No.
Do you guys?
That's Jason. He's on the big island.
Yeah, that's
lava. No, I've talked to many tourists. They've told me they've brought back lava or even sand of some sort, and they had nothing but bad luck, so they shipped it all back to Hawaii. Yeah. I got a guy actually behind me that sells little bonsai plants. You know, they grow them. You see them in all the restaurants, and basically, you know, he'll every now and then get rocks back in boxes with just the rock, and the plant has died. And they say this thing has caused me nothing but trouble.
Really?
And so, yeah, every now and then he'll show me the rock in the box, you know.
Wow.
So some people, you know, it's, you know, you start having some problems and you know, you hear about this. So it's, you're going to send it back. It's only going to cost you a little bit. Let's just get rid of it. You know, maybe that's what's causing her.
Did you guys see the movie North Shore?
Yeah.
Did you see that scene where she takes the tea leaf and she wraps a lava rock in it?
Right. Right.
They said that after that movie, that became a problem with
people visiting the island.
Everybody started doing that.
Yeah.
To where they had to put signs up, and they started fining people for doing it because it was actually damaging the environment. That people were ripping tea leaves down and then taking lava rocks and wrapping them.
Huh.
Yeah.
I never heard about the damage, but I remember you go to certain areas, waterfalls, and where you have the lava rock, and you'd always see them stacked up, you know.
Yeah, you see hundreds of them wrapped in rocks, wrapped in tea leaves that have been there for, you know, years. There'll be a big pile of them.
Yeah, I thought I read something about that, you know, there were certain areas where, you know, there were so many tourists that were doing it that the tea leaves couldn't recover fast enough. They were being torn out more, you know, faster than they could recover.
Nowadays they just shut down the entire path. The way it is, unfortunately, out here, all of our good hikes and places we used to always go to, there's just a fence there, and they don't allow you into it anymore. So it's kind of sad. So many different spots that we used to go to, you can't even get to anymore.
Well,
there's a book called Maui Revealed.
Yeah.
And it's like a guidebook that just became huge because there's a lot of really good secret spots that if you lived here and you respected certain areas you'd go to, and if you went in, you wouldn't know that you were, you know, nobody would ever know that you were there because you wouldn't leave any kind of marks or tear tea leaves, or you'd just go and enjoy it and leave. But, you know, when you get, that goes in a book, and all of a sudden you have 1,000 people show up on your little private road to go to this waterfall. You know, there's fights that break out, and all of a sudden, you know, the guy's just like, you know, you hear about people just going crazy and closing off what the whole entrance. So that really cool sacred spot is now, you know, no longer able to, you can't get to it anymore. So
that book you mentioned, Maui Revealed.
Yeah.
They have one for every island, right? And they have one.
Oh, yeah.
They have,
if you go to Costco, it's kind of funny. You'll see a lot of the tourists. You can tell they're just here. They're getting their first goods for the week they're here, and you'll always see the Maui Revealed book.
Right.
A lot of times, right there on top of the.
Like a buddy of mine, he bought a house in Kauai, right across the street from the little dirt parking lot and dirt path to Queen's Bath.
Oh, yeah.
And he said that when he first bought that house, nobody knew that was there except for the locals. And then that book, Kauai Revealed, put it in that book, right?
Right.
And he said once it was in that book, he says now it's so crowded because that little parking lot only holds something like 10 cars.
Right.
He says now people line up down the street and wait up to 3 hours waiting for people to pull out.
Right.
So
it's crazy.
And he's like, man, he's like, and now they have to put, you know, all these warnings on the path because it's so dangerous down there. And I don't know if you guys have been there to Queen's Bath and King's Bath. And
I don't know if I've been. I might. Where is that now? That's
it's on the north shore of Kauai. It's over in Princeville.
Yeah.
So
I think I've been there actually.
You know, the currents there are crazy, right? They're like toilet bowls, right?
Right.
And they have signs and warnings everywhere that actually has hashtags with how many people died that year. And every year, you know, it says people that have perished at this site this year, you know, they've got these signs, you know. And it was never that big of a problem before because the locals knew about it and they respected it, like you said, right? They knew their boundaries. They knew, like, you know, they knew how to handle themselves if they went in the water. They knew when the best time was to go, when it was low tide and the the currents weren't as aggressive.
Right.
And but then you have tourists going there now because of that those books, right? That
Kawhi
revealed.
And they have no clue.
Right. And they're either daring, stupid, or ignorant. You know.
Right. Well, they kind of figure probably. Well, it's in the sky book. It's got to be safe.
Right.
You know, and there's nothing really to worry about. And all of a sudden, they're. You know, they'll go there on a day maybe when it's raining or something, and all of a sudden you'll get a flash flood where the water will rise in a matter of minutes. Next thing you know, that's like the pools here in Hana, the seven sacred pools, or Ohio.
Right.
They used to always be open. Every now and then they get closed down if it was really bad, and you wouldn't want to go in there anyways, but nowadays you go over there, and I think the gates have been closed to the whole park for about, for a matter of 6 months or maybe longer now.
Oh,
so.
Really?
Yeah, you can't even get into it. So you'll pull into the, you got to pay $20-something paid to get into the parking lot, and then you can do the bamboo hike and stuff. But you'd always kind of look forward to getting in the water, maybe jumping off the cliff over there. You just can't even do that anymore. So there was a father and son, I believe, that were killed. Unfortunately, there was one, I think his son got stuck in an area, and he went in to try to save him. I believe they both died. And yeah, so. You know, it's sad that has to happen.
Yeah, it's too bad.
Totally. You know, the last time I was in Kauai, I had my kids with me. And, you know, there's a fire station near where we were staying. Every time we drove by it, my son would say, "What a cushy job, you know, like living in that fire station here in Kauai."
Right.
And you can see the mountains in the background, like right behind it. Everything's green and lush. And I said, you know, it's not as cushy as you think. And he's like, you know, how many fires do they get here? Because everything is so tropical
right.
and moist and, you right. know, there's lots of rain. And I said, it's not so much the fires that keep them busy. It's the dumb tourist, you know.
Right.
And every day,
exactly. oh, yeah.
every day I saw that fire truck come down the street with its sirens on. You know,
yeah.
every day. Whether we were
yeah,
at breakfast,
too.
Lunch, or dinner. It came by
yeah.
every day, you know.
Yeah.
There was always something happening, you know.
Oh, yeah. Even if it's just like a shark sighting or whatever, you know, as soon as they get the call, they're down there. So, yeah, anything ocean-related, you know, I think that's what most of their calls are for, you know, with the lifeguards.
I thought you guys had Baywatch in Hawaii.
Where's David Hasselhoff when you need him, man?
There was that Baywatch Hawaii series that lasted.
That's funny. They have the old Baywatch Hawaii boat, and it's sitting up in this old boat yard up on the highway where my son goes to school. And I was like, I wonder if that's the real boat. It's pretty cool though. It's this old, really long front boat with all bright yellow. It says Baywatch on the side.
Yeah.
But I was gonna look that up.
Yeah, you know when
it's
that,
been there a while. Yeah.
When that show
one, yeah.
when it first came on the air, I actually watched it because it had such gorgeous videography of Hawaii. It did so many overhead helicopter shots, and it just went to all the most beautiful parts of the island, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was pretty hokey. I mean, I remember that first episode, there was a guy that was explaining to somebody what hapa meant. And, you know.
I truthfully can't. I don't even know if I even watched that show once. I'm trying to remember if I did. I remember the old Baywatch in California more, but the Hawaii one, I don't even know. So they filmed that after the original one, yeah?
Oh, yeah, it was a while ago, but it was after the popularity of the California
the one,
like
one.
When it peaked, you know?
Right.
And I watched the new Hawaii 5-0 for the same reason, for all the beautiful videography, you know?
Right, yeah.
They make the islands, like, look so beautiful, you know? I mean, like, they're all over Oahu, everything was so beautiful, you know, when really... You know, a lot of Oahu's pretty run down, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That's good for tourists.
They don't say all the homeless and all the camps so much on the shows. So.
Right.
Yeah, that's a big problem out here.
Right.
Sad.
Well, so we lost Jason, right?
I think so.
All right.
Yep.
So we don't have anything to talk with Jason about. Then I was going to mention...
We can talk bad things about him.
Yeah, we could.
Just kidding, Jason.
Well, I've got us at about an hour right now, so
wow.
I'm thinking it's probably a good time to start wrapping things up. What do you think?
Cool, man. Yeah.
Well, before we wrap up,
like I said, too, man, you need a sponsor. I'm down to help you out, too, man.
Oh, I appreciate that.
If you want to throw out a little something, I told you that when we were at the tea. So I just, this last month was pretty slow for us. So
it's all good, man. I appreciate that. I appreciate the offer. Yeah,
man. I totally, you know. I'm glad you got all your funding back for the equipment. That's
I'm very blessed to have great listeners. You know, they stepped up to the plate when the podcast needed their help. And
That's awesome.
Yeah, you know, I can't thank the listeners enough. So, thank you, listeners. Yeah. You helped save the show. They really did because you know, I'm in a catch-22 situation, right? So, you know, I use the podcast to generate income. I generated income by selling ad space, right? And without podcasting equipment, I can't generate income. But without income, I can't buy podcasting equipment. And so it was one of those things where it was a catch-22 in a bad way. And the listeners, they freaking, you know, opened up their pockets, man, and really saved the show. You know, I mean, I can't thank them enough. So,
right on.
So yeah, very cool. So before we wrap up, let's give you guys some attention. What are your Instagrams, and where can people see your stuff?
You want me to go first?
Go ahead, Rob.
I'm just Tiki Rob, TikiRob.com, and Tiki Rob on Instagram.
Okay.
And on Facebook, I'm actually Facebook.com/TikiMugs.
So if people want to buy your stuff, they can go to the website?
Yeah, you know, I rarely put stuff on the website because I'm so busy filling orders. So you can go to the website, send me an email through the web, and I know what you want, and I'll add you to my list. And it takes a month or two to get a mug, but... that's the best way to do it.
Very cool. What about you, Scott?
How do we get a bug from Scott? Yeah,
that's a harder. You gotta come to Maui. No, I can send you guys out a bug. But Tiki Pop on Instagram, or come over to Maui. That's the best way to do it. Come visit our little shop right in Kihei, at Beach Bums, or shoot me an email at southmaui@gmail.com. And sometimes if I have mugs available, I can shoot you pictures and do that. So I don't like to post prices and pictures on Instagram and use it as a selling form so much. So I'll just post videos or pictures of stuff I've made. And then a lot of times I'll just get messages from people that want something. So
cool.
Works good that way.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, even though Jason's not here, we're going to give him a shout out to... his Instagram is @Tiki_JS. And for those that don't know, Jason is a lamp maker. And he does that stuff with your guys' mugs. And other people's mugs as well, right?
Yeah. Make some killer lamps.
Make some killer lamps.
Lights them all up perfectly.
Yeah, matching shades and, you know, real nice, like, you know, pull strings on them and bases and all that kind of stuff. So...
Yeah.
So give his stuff a look too.
Yep.
Cool, guys. Well,
cool,
hey,
man.
Thanks for taking the time and being on the podcast.
Right on, Adrian.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother.
It was fun, man. I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys again. Are any plans for you guys coming out to the mainland anytime?
No, you're coming here first.
Okay. You're right. I really should get out there. I'd love to get out to Maui. You know, believe it or not, I've never been to Maui.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
You guys got to come out, man. It's a beautiful island.
Yeah, you know, it's always been on my list, but I for one thing or another, I've never made it out there. So, but I'll figure it out. And you know, the thing is that if I get out there to Hawaii, the next destination would be for the show in Kona, right?
Right.
So this, right. I'd be missing Maui again. See.
Well, yeah.
Oh, it's an easy hop over, you know, on the flight. You know, just jump over to Maui for a couple of days before you head back.
Yeah.
Well, crash out of my lanai.
Yeah, I'd love to sit at that bar, Scott.
Yeah, it's a fun little bar. I try and get them to turn it a little more tiki, but they're not always into it. So
no, your bar, your house.
Yeah, talk about your house.
Oh, yeah.
Last night.
Bad for you.
You said you're Lanai, right? That's where it is, right?
Yeah, the Manini Bar. It's seats about 3.
Okay.
It's tiny.
I'm only one
but
guy.
But it's fun. Yeah. No, man, you're welcome anytime. That'd awesome. Be awesome. For sure.
Well, thanks again, guys.
We can make it out sometime.
Thanks again. I appreciate you being on the show. And for our listeners out there, if you have any questions, comments, or just want to leave a shout out for Scott or Rob or Jason, check out our Facebook group page, Inside the Desert Oasis Room, or hit us up on Instagram at Polynesian Pop. Cheers and aloha.
Aloha.
Aloha.